Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Decatur Dish. I'm your host, editor and publisher Dan Wisenhunt. Decatur Dish is a show we do with our media partners every Tuesday. Our media partners are Atlanta News First. Our guest today is Rebecca Gwynn, CEO of Lifeline Animal Shelter. Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dan. How are you?
Can't complain. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a topic our readers are very, very passionate about, animals in DeKalb County. But first, I want to talk a little bit about you, because as I understand it, you left a pretty promising legal career to take over Lifeline. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how that came to be?
Sure, yes. I was a practicing attorney here in Atlanta. I was a white-collar criminal defense attorney, and I had an experience. It's been over 20 years ago now. But an experience in the DeKalb County Animal Shelter. And after doing some research about what was going on, at that time, DeKalb County was euthanizing 80 to 85% of the animals that came into the shelter. The same was true in Fulton County. The Fulton County shelter wasn't even open to the public. And it's just something I really became obsessed with and felt that it was something we really needed to change. So I actually started Lifeline in 2002. We've had the mission ever since we started to end the euthanasia of healthy and treatable animals in animal shelters, and we've been working on that ever since.
You are not the only person in DeKalb County who is obsessed with pets and animals. Many of our readers are as well, and we all want to know, because we've been following the story pretty closely, what is the current state of the animal shelter, both in DeKalb County and Fulton County, but specifically DeKalb County?
I think things are definitely improving in DeKalb County. We are still in the midst of the post-pandemic era. It's caused a number of animals come into the shelter and actually stay there, and we're seeing that very much so in DeKalb County. We are making progress with the help of the community, but it's still a really tough situation. And Dan, we've seen this situation all over the country. There's a recent study that was done through a group called Shelter Animals Count, and they survey and collect data from 6,000 shelters across the country. And there are, in this country, a million more animal shelters actually in the shelters than there were in 2021. So we're entering our fourth year of this capacity crisis.
So talk to us, you mentioned the pandemic, and that's a great segue into our next question. Talk to us about how the pandemic affected the shelter, and then how the post-pandemic affected the shelter and your intake levels.
So during the pandemic, like when in those months, I guess this month now, right, March, April, May, a lot of people adopted. The shelter is actually emptied out, and really, we really felt that we could declare a victory. It was amazing. We'd never seen the shelters empty before like that. And as things started to return, I don't want to say back to normal, because I don't know if any of us are having a post-pandemic life that
resembles our own. I mean, I'm still experiencing trauma right now.
Right. But as things began to open up, animals started coming in, and it really wasn't animals being returned. It was, I really think, an instability out in the community where we started seeing more animals coming in and fewer animals going out. So that's when we started to have the capacity crisis. And because it's not just our crisis, it's across the country, all of our partners, every avenue available for a homeless animal to be saved was getting full. And that's what we're experiencing, and we're still in that.
So let's tease that out a bit, because you mentioned instability in the community. Are we talking about housing affordability? What are we talking about?
I think it's all of the above. Pet-friendly, affordable housing is really scarce, particularly in DeKalb County. We literally have people moving to the county and not able to find housing for both themselves and their pet. So that's a definite issue. I think the economy really has just caused instability in the community where people are either unable to care for their pet, unable to prioritize that, or really have second thoughts about bringing a new family member into their home through pet adoption. So it's happening on both ends of our equation. More animals are coming in, fewer animals are leaving.
So when did Lifeline take over the DeKalb shelter?
So we actually began managing both DeKalb and Fulton in 2013.
Okay, but you had been around since 2002, and you'd had this mission to make DeKalb County a no-kill county, and for a while that's what it was. There weren't any euthanasias that were space-related. I think that, am I accurate in saying
that's
that?
That's correct. We were successful starting in about 2018. The DeKalb Board of Commissioners actually passed a resolution that they wanted the shelter to be no-kill. And what that means is that 90% or more of the animals leave the shelter alive. Our shelters are what's called open admission. So we take in every animal, no matter their condition, no matter their breed, temperament, medical condition, injury. And so there's an expectation that some animals are going to come into our care who we're going to be unable to save. But any animal that can be saved, we've been saving. And so we were able to get DeKalb over that 90% rate and keep it there really up until last year.
And what changed last year?
Last year, really, it was just the worst year we've had in sheltering. It's this capacity crisis. It's fewer outcomes. It's intake getting back up to pre-pandemic levels and just not having the avenues for the animals to leave. So that's one part of it. I think the other part of it is really we're affected by changes in the workforce just like every other business. So staffing became more difficult for us since the pandemic. And the other thing is the national veterinary shortage. Vet care is much harder to come by. It's much more expensive. There are fewer veterinarians than there are jobs. I read a study that showed that there were 3,000 jobs available and no veterinarians to fill them across the country. So all these factors have created a perfect storm.
So let's talk about the euthanasia rates at the DeKalb shelter. What is the current rate now, and is it leveled off? Is it increased? Where does that stand?
So we're showing a euthanasia this rate that's probably around between 85% and 87%. We want to get back up to that 90%. We've been very successful in at least the last 4 weeks of not having to make any euthanasia decisions because of space. We've set some goals each week that we're asking the community to help us reach of getting a certain number of animals out each week. And with the help of our community, we've been able to meet those goals each week. So we've not made space euthanasia decisions.
And when you make those decisions, I don't want to get too deep into a sensitive topic here, but if you could talk generally, how do those decisions get made? Is it based on the age of the animal, the health of the animal?
Usually we're looking at how likely it is an animal is going to leave the shelter. And those decisions kind of come down to often behavior. So animals that have some minor behavior issues that at one time we had the time and the space and the resources to be able to help that animal and give them the time that they need. The longer an animal stays in the shelter, the longer his or her behavior may deteriorate. So those are the factors that start to enter into space decisions. They're animals that need more help and that because of the space concerns, we're just not able to give them that help. But those decisions are they're painful, they're very carefully made, and it's part of our job to make sure that we keep the community safe, but it's very hard to judge those gray areas on behavior, and that's what we're faced with doing.
Let's talk about some of the factors that contribute to the overcrowding. One question we got a lot, because we put this question out to readers, we said Rebecca's going to be on our show. We got quite a few about backyard breeding. I have to confess, I'm only vaguely familiar with this topic. What is backyard breeding? What does it have to do with Lifeline, and what can Lifeline do about it, if anything?
So backyard breeding, I guess in the most general sense, is when private citizens decide they're going to have puppies or kittens, and often with the idea that they're going to be able to sell them. We know that animals are coming from somewhere, and so backyard breeding is one of the likely sources. I think when we're talking about solutions for that, that's where the issue of veterinary care and the lack of veterinary care comes into play. We did a survey recently of vets in the DeKalb County area, and the average cost, so the The most prevalent dog in our system right now is a larger, 50-pound, larger dog. The average cost to spay or neuter that dog in DeKalb County right now is $525. It's very difficult to get an appointment. So we're looking, the number one way to stop backyard breeding is to have pets spayed or neutered. But we really do have a shortage of resources. Lifeline is the largest spay-neuter provider in the state, and our clinics are full. And we do the large dog spays or neuters at a significantly lower price. But again, it may be less of a matter of responsibility, but more a matter of resources that we're seeing animals not spayed or neutered and reproducing.
I did not realize that spaying and neutering an animal had gone up to, I think when I had my cats neutered, it was couple hundred bucks. It wasn't that. Actually, I take that back. I think the ones that I got were neutered before I got them, but the last time I had that done, probably 10 years ago at this point, it was $200. I did not realize it had increased to that level. That's shocking. What, and you think that's being driven by the shortage of vets and veterinary care?
The vets and the economy, the cost of supplies, the cost of labor. I mean, our vets are it's a very competitive market that we're having to match. It's a very competitive market for veterinary technicians, and you know, costs are going up, so it's become really expensive. We do have some hope on the horizon. We've got a new program that is being funded by DeKalb County, where we're going to be offering 1,000 free spay neuters over the next year for DeKalb County residents, and it's fully funded. Your pet can be spayed or neutered, fully vaccinated, microchipped, even get a county license registration tag, and that's being funded by DeKalb County, and we'll be operating that program through Lifeline.
So I noticed, and I don't want to get too deep into this tangent because we could do a whole show about this, I noticed that private equity corporations are getting into the animal care business, buying up smaller practices and other outfits that do pet grooming and that sort of thing. How has that affected the market for pet health care, both locally and nationally?
That actually is part of the issue, because it's very hard for the smaller practices, and it's particularly a nonprofit like Lifeline, to be able to compete with those compensation packages, frankly. So it is really upping the investment that we're having to make to provide veterinary care.
But what does it do to the standard of care across the board?
That I don't have enough knowledge about.
Gotcha. What can people do? Because this was the other question we got a lot of. Well, let's break this down. First of all, what could be done at a state and local level to help you do what you do better and achieve your goals of having a no-kill shelter?
You know, there's really one piece of legislation that I've been talking to DeKalb County about. I'd be interested in talking to the state legislature about it as well. But animal control is really a local function, almost by law, right? So we have a tremendous backlog of animals that have come in through court cases, so violations of ordinances and sometimes more serious crimes. And the animals come into our shelter, the court system, particularly in DeKalb, got a huge backlog as a result of the pandemic. And so these animals have lingered in the shelter. We have almost always between 70 and 80 dogs in the animal shelter that are there because of court and no discernible path for them to be released at this point. So one of the things that we'd really like to see enacted is if your animal is brought in on some kind of violation, that essentially there's an automatic bond that goes into place, and that you would be required to pay a bond, which would be refundable if your case is resolved in your favor. But you would pay a bond in order for the animal to continue to be held in the sheltering system. Because we have cases where defendants are nowhere to be found, but the court has not released the animals. So technically, the animals, even though the defendant is out there somewhere, they still have a property right in their animals or property under Georgia law.
Has anybody taken up that cause? Any legislator have agreed to move a bill forward on that? Where does that stand?
I've talked with different commissioners. I've not had a lot of contact with anyone on the state level because, as I said, animal control is really a local function. So this is a local issue. But we'd like to see something more automatic in place. There are other mechanisms to get animals released through the court system, but they do require an action on the part in DeKalb County on the part of the county attorney, and it's complicated. It's not a clear-cut situation.
As we get to the close of our segment here, what readers want to know and viewers want to know the most is what can we do to help? Because they want to help, but in many cases they feel like they don't know how. They feel like they don't know how to get involved. They don't know how to volunteer. What are some of the best ways that they can help you do what you're trying to do, which is provide a no-kill shelter in DeKalb County?
Absolutely. Volunteering is a great way to start. You can go to our website, either DeKalbAnimalServices.com or Lifeline's website, lifelineanimal.org. And there's a way to sign up to be a volunteer. It's almost automatic to get through a video orientation process. That was one of the benefits of the pandemic. We put a lot of things online, and then once you get to the shelter, you'll be ready for an orientation and to start. Fostering is a great way to help. Pets belong in homes, not in shelters. The shelter is a hard environment under the best of circumstances for an animal. So fostering, and that's something you can do, start the process through our website, but you do have to come into the shelter. Adoption. Number one, if you're thinking about getting a new pet or you just like to really have some fun in your life or a new soulmate, please visit one of our shelters, the DeKalb Animal Shelter, our Fulton Animal Shelter. Fulton has a brand new shelter to visit. It's really remarkable to see. And also we have our own shelter in DeKalb County, the Lifeline Community Animal Center. And finally, make a donation. We save lives through your support, and that's what's most important to us.
Well, I wanted to convey something that, first of all, if you've watched any of the Zoom meetings of the Lifeline Animal Shelter Board, people are very passionate about their animals, and Rebecca is often on the receiving end a lot of criticism for what goes on at Lifeline. But I wanted to tell you, because I think you'll appreciate hearing this, there were more than a few people who chimed in who wanted me to thank you because they got their animals from Lifeline and their valued companions, and they wanted me to convey their thanks to you for the work that you do at Lifeline. And for people who are passionate about this issue, I would say it's a collaborative effort. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Rebecca left a very lucrative law career to devote her time and energy to helping animals. And, you know, she can't do it by herself. There are a lot of ways that folks can get involved. So please, if you're interested, take advantage of those opportunities and help them get where we're all trying to go, which is to have a no-kill shelter in DeKalb County. Rebecca, thank you so much for your time, and we hope we can have you on the show again soon.
Thank you so much.
So I wanted to close by reminding everyone that Decaturish and Atlanta News First recently did a forum with the DeKalb County CEO candidates. We taped it at the Assembly out in Doraville. Beautiful facility. Great forum. We had all the candidates show up. We got a bunch of questions in. And that is going to air tomorrow on Atlanta News First Plus at 7:30. We can't wait to show it to you. It's got a great panel of moderators, and we're really excited about it. We hope it'll get you informed as you prepare to vote this May. You can do that by watch the show by downloading the Atlanta News First Plus app on your streaming devices, Roku TV on your phone. Decaturish.com can be found at Decaturish.com. That's where you get most of the news from us. LocallySourcedNews.com is where you can get all of our emails and news alerts and updates and things like that. SupportYourLocalNews.com is where you can become a paying subscriber. Free news is what we love to provide, but free ain't cheap, so we do appreciate your support on that. And finally, please remember this URL, DecaturishVotes.com is where you can find all of your local election news this year. You're not going to see it on Facebook. You're not going to see it on Twitter. those platforms are getting out of the politics business. If you want to know what's going on and you want fair and unbiased coverage of your local elections, please visit DecaturishVotes.com to get all your election coverage. You're going to get our stories. You're going to get coverage of our forum with ANF and more. And with that, we're going to see you again next Tuesday. Have a great week, everybody.